All right. Hi, this is Regina, and it is January 2nd, 2019, but I'm recording this teaching early because tonight I will be traveling, and when I kind of looked at the timings of the traveling, it looks like it would be really challenging to be all settled in the hotel and ready to teach by 9:30 Eastern time tonight, so I didn't want to miss another I Am That teaching, so I just thought I would record it early and give the recording to Don. For the last several weeks, I've been in the same message. It's message 16 from I Am That. It's called Desirelessness, the Highest Bliss. And today I'm beginning at the bottom of page 47, which is near the end of the message. So we should finish the message easily in this half hour. The question from the devotee isn't really a question. It's a statement. The devotee says, "We are told to meditate regularly." So let's see what Nisargadatta has to say to that. By the way, you may hear me sipping coffee. It's morning time here. I just finished meditating myself, so I'm having some coffee while I do this teaching. Nisargadatta says, "Deliberate daily exercise in discrimination between the true and the false, and renunciation of the false is meditation. There are many kinds of meditation to begin with, but they all merge finally into one." All right, I'm going to stop there. Recently, I wrote a gentle healing tip, which you all will see very soon. It hasn't actually come out yet as of January 2nd, 2019, but it'll come out soon. It's a post on awareness, watching awareness meditation. And what it says the purpose of awareness, watching awareness meditation is, is to distinguish between the false and the true, to ignore the false, and immerse oneself in the true. There are all kinds of practices that we use during the day while we're up and about walking in the world. You know, there's a surrender, as it's taught in Inner Ramana. There's the I Am That mantra, followed by silence. There's the Loving All method. There's discernment, which discernment is extremely important. Discernment is watching the mind, watching the thoughts in the mind, distinguishing which thoughts are ego, and choosing not to speak or act from them. Waiting for clarity before speaking or acting. That's discernment. There's Bentinho's wonderful practice, which is to take breaks throughout the day for 3 to 5 seconds just to focus on the sense of existence. There's Nisargadatta's practice of focusing on the I Am presence as you move throughout the day. But As much as I love these practices and as much as I practice these practices as I move about within the world, what I find, and maybe you find the same thing, is that there is a qualitative difference between my walking practices and my sitting practices. And I think that, I know that qualitative difference comes from mental chatter. You see, when I sit down in the morning, you know, as I've just finished, it's, it's probably 8:45-ish in the morning here when I finished my morning practice today. I started my morning practice at about 5:45-ish, so I had about 3 hours of morning practice undisturbed this morning. I started with contemplation, and then contemplation opens my heart, and I dive into meditation. And I can't tell you how long I meditated. I'm not sure. I can't tell you how long I contemplated. I'm not sure. But the 3 hours was spent on those two practices. During that time, there was very little mental chatter. During contemplation, there may have been none. Contemplation is my personal strength. It comes very easy to me. When I get into contemplation, I dive deep into silence, deep into the heart, deep into wisdom, deep into clarity. And I think mental chatter gets completely left behind. I think there's probably none. During meditation, I do experience some mental chatter, but it's not as active as it is when I'm walking about in the world during the day. That's the qualitative difference between my morning sitting practice and my during the day walking about practice. The qualitative difference is the amount of mental chatter, which we could also call the amount of distraction. In fact, let me read to you one thing that I wrote this morning during my contemplation. At this point in the contemplation, I was contemplating the desire for freedom. As Michael Langford calls it, the intense desire for freedom or longing for freedom. So I was contemplating that, and this is what I wrote. To long to be free, I have to quit the world. Like a turtle, I need to pull my head into my heart. The head, outside of the heart, does not long to be free. It longs only to stretch its neck outward more and more. But in the heart, it knows itself. It is a part of the heart. It is at home in the heart until it is absorbed by the heart. And then it is a head no more. So the point here, the image that came to me was, if I don't take this time every day for this sitting meditation where the mental chatter gets very, very, very quiet, and again, during contemplation, it may be completely quiet, because the mental chatter is active throughout the day in spite of the fact that I engage in these other practices like surrender and mantra and discernment, etc., loving all, right? It doesn't have the same quality as the morning meditation and contemplation. During the morning meditation and contemplation, I am concentrated on letting go of the false and immersing myself in the true. concentrated, like a turtle, right? I've pulled that head into my heart and it's concentrated. You know, like a concentrated clothing detergent has more oomph per eighth of a cup than one that is not concentrated. You need a full cup of the laundry detergent, right? So that time of sitting in the morning is concentrated. Where during the day, even though the practices continue, it's a little diffused, a little diluted. So, again, Nisargadatta says, deliberate daily exercise in discrimination. Deliberate, deliberate, deliberate daily exercise in discrimination between the true and the false. And renunciation of the false is meditation. And as I said, there's a tip coming up very, very soon for Gentle Healing Year 2 where it says that's the purpose of awareness, watching, awareness, meditation. That during awareness, watching, awareness, meditation, we are concentrated on letting go of the false or letting go of mental chatter, even letting go of emotion. And focusing our attention on awareness. It is deliberate exercise in discrimination between the true and the false, and it is renunciation of the false. And in fact, I said a moment ago that when I'm in contemplation, I might experience zero mental chatter. But when I'm in meditation, mental chatter is slowed. There is still some mental chatter, but it's not like it is when I'm up and about walking around during the day. But I would say that slowed mental chatter during meditation has a purpose. Its purpose is to be renunciated. It shows up so I can let it go. It shows up in meditation so I can be not interested in it. Same thing with physical emotions. They show up in meditation so I can choose not to be mesmerized by them and give my attention to the true instead. In fact, when I sit in meditation, I remain aware of my desire to know the true. And that guides my renunciation of mental chatter and my renunciation of any feelings that might arise. I remain engaged in my desire to know the true during meditation. In other words, during contemplation and meditation, I do long, well, the words that were in the quote I was contemplating was long to be free. But for me, it's not really long to be free because I no longer feel imprisoned. It's long to dissolve into the true. So Nisargadatta says, again, the questioner said, we are told to meditate regularly. And Nisargadatta says, deliberate daily exercise in discrimination between the true and the false and renunciation of the false is meditation. And then he says there are many kinds of meditation to begin with, but they all merge finally into one. And when I first started meditation, first of all, contemplation, as I mentioned, has come very easily to me. And I have been practicing contemplation since I consciously began the spiritual path. In April of, well, actually, I would say the really deep contemplation probably started a little after that, probably June of 2004. I didn't really start meditation until around, I think, May 2013. And might have even been 2014. I don't know for sure. Might have been 2014. What the heck? We'll say possibly even 2015. This is 2019 now. So somewhere between 2013 and 2015, I do remember it was the month of May. I finally surrendered to Michael Langford and began practicing meditation. And I could go look that up because I have emails from him. But it's not really important. Whether it was 2013 or 2015, it was somewhere between 9 and 11 years after I began contemplation, right? So contemplation came to me much more easily, much more natural. Meditation was something I had to work at. And one of the things I did, I always, pardon me, forgive me, I've always used Awakening Together. And before that, ACIM Gather, for the purpose of helping myself progress spiritually. So what I did when I started meditating was I decided that we would do daily meditations. This is when we used to be open 24/7. Awakening Together in Paltalk was open 24/7 the first few years. So we were open 24/7, and I decided that we would start doing daily meditations. I don't remember the time. Might have been like 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning Eastern time. And I led, I think, three of those meditations. I came in two or three times a week. I think it was three. And led a 30-minute meditation. And I think Karen Worth led a meditation and maybe some others as well. But I did that because I wanted to learn to meditate. I was using Awakening Together to teach myself to meditate because I was finally dedicating myself to meditation. And those early meditations are more visualizations. In fact, we didn't record the first few, but then somebody suggested that we start recording them. And as of today, they still remain on the website. I can't promise they'll be there forever. But as of today, they still remain on the website. They're under audios and videos, meditation audios, and then devotional meditation. Those are mine. Audios and videos, meditation audios, devotional meditation. And if you scroll to the bottom, you know, like the very first one is called Love Meditation with Reverend Gina Dawn Akers. And the second one is Learning to Be Still, Warm, Dry Place Meditation. And then Respecting Humanness. And then another Learning to Be Still, Listening Attention Meditation. There's a Desire for Truth, a Miracles Meditation, right? And these meditations were not exactly awareness watching awareness. They were more visualizations. But they were helpful to me in the beginning to get used to the practice of closing my eyes and becoming still without contemplating. Just being. And then as the meditations move forward, you'll find more awareness, watching awareness types of meditations. And then, of course, I move from recording those meditations to recording the loving consciousness meditations, which I still use today. I begin my meditation by listening to a 30-minute loving consciousness meditation. And then when the 30-minute loving consciousness meditation stops, I just continue. Those loving consciousness meditations can also be found under audios and videos in the meditation audios, loving consciousness. So even though in the beginning there were these visualization meditations for me and they were very helpful, they merged into this deliberate exercise in discriminating between the true and the false and renunciating the false through daily loving consciousness meditation, which is a type of awareness watching awareness meditation. In fact, Adyashanti calls this type of meditation, whether you call it loving consciousness or awareness watching awareness or consciousness being aware of consciousness, right? Different people give it different names, but Adyashanti calls it true meditation. And in effect, that's what Nisargadatta is doing here, because he says very clearly, there are many kinds of meditation to begin with, but they all merge finally into one, right? True meditation. Eyes closed, focused concentration on letting go of anything that is not awareness, not consciousness, not beingness, not I amness, not presence. Right? Those are all different words trying to describe the same thing that we pay attention to. Everything else we let go of. Now, the questioner next says, please tell me which road to self-realization is the shortest. And Nisargadatta says, no way is short or long, but some people are more in earnest and some are less. I can tell you about myself. I was a simple man, but I trusted my guru. What he told me to do, I did. He told me to concentrate on I am. I did. He told me that I am beyond all perceivables and conceivables. I believed. I gave him my heart and soul, my entire attention, and the whole of my spare time. I had to work to keep my family alive. As a result of faith and earnest application, I realized my true self within 3 years. You may choose any way that suits you. Your earnestness will determine the rate of progress. That's interesting, don't you think? Your earnestness. Now, when he says you may choose any way that suits you, I would say you want to be careful what you're choosing with, because you don't want to choose with the head. You know, the head will have resistance to the practice that might be the practice to awaken you, right? So it's not like, oh, well, I don't like meditation. I don't really even like contemplation. I kind of like surrender. So I'm just going to surrender every day and not practice meditation and contemplation. But what if surrender is trying to prompt you to take that first hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours every day for meditation, contemplation? Are you going to let the mind continue to tell you, yeah, but I don't like that. Nisargadatta said I can pick any path I want. I'm going to skip that. Or are you going to listen to the surrender that's guiding you to take that time? You know, you have to be careful, because the head, obviously, doesn't have the purpose of helping you to awaken. So it's going to point in the wrong way. You have to make sure it's the heart that's choosing what suits you. It's the heart that's choosing what suits you. And then in spite of resistance that comes from the head, you follow the heart. Then any path is good as long as you are earnest. As long as you apply yourself to it fully. Notice Nisargadatta isn't claiming to have meditated 12 hours a day. I've never read how long he did meditate. But he says, I had to keep my family alive. I had to work. And we don't know whether he worked 12-hour days, 14-hour days, 8-hour days. You know, we don't know if he had to have dinner with his family. So we don't know if he meditated 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day. Nor does he seem to be indicating that that's what was important. What was important was his earnestness. You know, however many it was, I'm going to say 3 hours just to pick a number. When he sat down for those 3 hours a day, his attention was fully on it. And even when he was not in those 3 hours a day, although the quality might have been a little less, he was still focused on the I am presence to the best of his ability while involved in business, while engaged with his family. But he used all of his spare time, he says. So he's focusing on that more qualitative time. He isn't saying, I was always focused on the I Am Presence, although I strongly suspect he was to the best of his ability. But he's focusing on that qualitative time when he sat down for 2 or 3 or 4 or 6 hours a day or whatever it was and gave his full attention through meditation to discriminating between the faults, relinquishing the faults, and paying attention solely to the I Am Presence. And it was his earnestness, his dedication, his commitment to that. He didn't do it haphazardly. He didn't do it sometimes. Right? It was his earnestness. How much do we want it? He says, no way is short or long, but some people are more in earnest and some are less. So, in other words, I can do the exact same thing Nisargadatta did, which is what I now call natural meditation. I can focus on the I Am Presence or awareness, watching awareness, or loving consciousness, true meditation. They're all the same. I can do that once a week, a couple times a week, maybe sometimes a whole month passes. It's not going to be as effective. My earnestness is lacking. It's not that I have the wrong practice. I have the right practice. It's just my earnestness is lacking. No way is short or long, but some people are more in earnest and some are less. I can tell you about myself. I was a simple man, but I trusted my guru. I think that's another really important point. Trust your guru, whoever your outer teacher is. Your inner teacher as well, but outer teachers are interesting because if you get to know any outer teacher well enough, there are going to be doubts are going to arise about that person because you're going to begin to see the personality. And I don't care who the teacher is. It says in NTI Hebrews that the reason we listen to Jesus is because he's not here. We got to know Jesus well enough. I mean, think about Judas. Judas got to know Jesus well enough. And because he focused on whatever it was that he saw, personality things, mainly from the way the Bible points it out, Jesus just didn't meet his expectations. Like when, especially when Jesus allowed that woman to come in and cry all over him and put perfumed oil on his head and his feet, that did not meet Judas's expectations of what a guru should be doing, of what a teacher should be doing. And he turned against Jesus to the point of turning him in for trial and eventually crucifixion. And T.I. says that we listen to Jesus because he's not here. You know, in other words, we might have judged him right along with Judas. What the heck? You know, why is he letting this woman love all over him like that, right? He must not be as awake as we thought he was. He has a blind spot. He likes pretty girls pouring themselves all over him. He likes attention. He likes worship. Trust your guru. My job is to trust Michael Langford and Ramana and Nisargadatta. But Michael Langford is the one here in body whose personality I have gotten to know. And it's my job to trust his teachings in spite of how my mind might want to sometimes judge what he says or what he does. I was a simple man, but I trusted my guru. What he told me to do, I did. He told me to concentrate on I Am. I did. He told me that I am beyond all perceivables and conceivables. I believed. That's why we let go. Right. That's why we let go of all thought. That's why we let go of all emotions, of all stories, because we're beyond all perceivables and conceivables. He told me that I am beyond all perceivables and conceivables, I believe. I gave him my heart and my soul, my entire attention, and the whole of my spare time. I had to work to keep my family alive. As a result of faith and earnest application, I realized my true self within 3 years. You may choose any way that suits you. Your earnestness will determine the rate of progress. And the questioner says, no hint for me? And Nisargadatta says, establish yourself firmly in the awareness of I am. This is the beginning and also the end of all endeavor. And I'm now going to let go of the mic. Thanks, you guys, for hanging out with me, even though I was here a little earlier than you.